is the forgiveness of sins. Without the forgiveness of sins, we can't enter into any more that Christ has to offer us and his benefits and blessings.
Vamos a tocar por un momento lo que creo que es lo más esencial que nos ofrece Jesús, y es el perdón de los pecados. Sin el perdón de los pecados no podemos entrar a lo que Cristo tiene para nosotros, los beneficios y las bendiciones.
So I'm just going to read this, Mark chapter 2 from 1 to verse 12.
Hermanos, voy a leer de Marcos 2, del 1 al 12.
So this is what the Word of God says. When he entered to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. And many were gathered together so that there was no more room, not even at the door. And he was preaching the word to them. And they came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. When he had entered, or when he could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, "Why did this man speak like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Amen. Immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, said to them, "Why do you question these things in your heart? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, take up your bed and walk'? And that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And he rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." And you won't.
Algunos días después, Jesús volvió de Cafarnaum. En cuanto se supo que estaba en la casa, se juntó mucha gente, de manera de que ya no cabían ni aún en la puerta, mientras él les predicaba la palabra. Llegaron entonces cuatro hombres que cargaban a un paralítico. Como no podían acercarse a Jesús por causa de la multitud, quitaron parte del techo donde estaba Jesús, hicieron una abertura y por ahí bajaron en la camilla en la que estaba acostado el paralítico. Cuando Jesús vio la fe de ellos, le dijo al paralítico, "Hijo, los pecados te son perdonados." Algunos de los escribas estaban ahí sentados y decían a sí mismos, "¿Qué es lo que dice este? Está blasfemando. ¿Quién puede perdonar pecados? Nadie, sino Dios." Enseguida Jesús se dio cuenta de lo que estaba pensando, así que les preguntó, "¿Qué es lo que cavilan en su corazón? ¿Qué es más fácil, que le diga al paralítico, 'Tus pecados te son perdonados,' o le diga, 'Levántate, toma tu cama y anda'? Para que ustedes sepan que el Hijo del Hombre tiene autoridad en la tierra para perdonar pecados, este le dice al paralítico, 'Levántate, toma tu camilla y vete a tu casa.' Enseguida, el paralítico se levantó, tomó su camilla y salió delante de todos, que se quedaron asombrados y glorificando a Dios al tiempo decían, 'Nunca hemos visto nada parecido.'"
Let's just pray for a minute, amen. Let's bow our heads. Oremos, hermanos. Father, thank you for this time, for your word. Thank you for the hope that we find in your word. Thank you for the truth that we see in your word. And the fact that Jesus fulfilled it. Padre Celestial, te damos las gracias por tu palabra. Gracias por la esperanza que encontramos en tu palabra, Señor. Gracias, Señor, por lo que vamos a ver hoy. Pedimos que tú nos bendigas. Lo pedimos todo en nombre de Cristo Jesús. And everybody said, amen. So, just a few minutes with you here this morning. It says in verse 1 that he returned, that is referring to Jesus, to Capernaum after some days. It was reported that he was at home. I really like this. It's reported that Jesus was in the house. You guys see that? I love this phrase. And I have a question. If people were to make a report of what they hear coming from your house, would they say Jesus is there? First question for us this morning. Would it be reported that Jesus is inside your house? Could it be reported that Jesus is in your heart? Could it be reported that Jesus is in your church? How do they know that? Because of the commotion, because the word of God was being preached, because there were people there listening. Cuando fue reportado, y vemos ahí donde dice, en cuanto se supo que estaba en la casa Jesús, me gusta lo que se reportó. Me encanta porque lo que vemos aquí, si tuviéramos a alguien que hiciera un reporte de nosotros, ¿pudieran entender que Jesús estaba en su casa? ¿Pueden decir que estaba ahí Él cuando miran a ti y conocen de ti? Más bien en tu corazón, más bien en nuestra iglesia. Me gustaría saber que así es. Amén. So, Jesus is there. And it says many other people were gathered together. Verse 2. So many that there was no more room. Not even at the door. And he was preaching the word to them. I pray that this would be the problem for every church. That they'd be so full that you couldn't even get in. I pray that'd be the issue. And what we find here is the ministry of Jesus is always based or around the teaching and preaching of the word. You notice that? What was he doing there? He was preaching the word to them. He was preaching the word to them, and then there were so many people listening to the word that could not even enter in. But it's not really a problem, is it? Lo que vemos aquí en esta mañana que el ministerio de Jesucristo siempre está basada en la enseñanza y la predicación de la palabra. Más bien nos dice la palabra que la fe viene por oír y el oír la palabra de Dios. Y gustaría que esto fuera el mismo problema aquí. Que hubiera tanta gente aquí que ni pudiéramos entrar a la puerta. Amén. Porque Jesús está predicando palabras de vida. Y eso debe atraer mucha gente. So we kind of see the issue here. So verse 3 tells us they, referring to these four amigos, they're bringing him, that is the paralytic, they were carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him, and when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. I want to just take a minute and say, the title of this message is Friends and the Friend of Sinners. Notice that there's four guys carrying, I imagine, at each corner, this bed that this paralytic lied on. And they couldn't get in. So what they do, because of this big crowd, is they go up to the roof. You notice that? And I imagine as they're, and here's what we have, a couple problems, a couple obstacles for these friends determined to get near Jesus. Number one, the crowd. Number two, they actually have to tear up this roof. And number three, there's a little bit of a risk as to whether or not Jesus will actually receive them and do what they are going to petition him for. Lo que tenemos aquí, hermanos, es un lugar tan lleno que no pueden entrar estos cuatro amigos. Son amigos y quieren ver el amigo de pecadores. Y vemos aquí que ellos, al entrar, tienen algunos obstáculos para poder acercarse a Jesús. Primero, la gente tan llena del lugar. Segundo, el techo. Lo tenían que deshacer. Y el tercer obstáculo es el hecho de si Jesús los iba a recibir con la petición y con la necesidad que existía. So, they were going to have to fight their way through. They were taking the risk of undoing someone's roof. I don't know about you, but if I'm in my house having a Bible study, this may be one of the insurance things on small group studies in your house, that you have to get coverage for people tearing up your roof so that they can bring their friend in. I don't know. But just think about how that works. And we don't put a little bit of flesh and blood onto this story and see the determination that they had for, and the love they had for their friend, to be willing to do some crazy things in spite of the obstacles of the crowd, in spite of the fact that they had to tear up the roof and they don't know, then we really don't understand what it is to be a friend to your friends, especially if they have a need. Lo que vemos aquí entonces, hermanos, es varios obstáculos que mencionamos. Y si no ponemos un poco de carne y sangre en esta historia, si no lo vemos en lo práctico, ¿se dan cuenta que están deshaciendo el techo de quién sabe de quién es el dueño de la casa? ¿Te dan cuenta del riesgo? ¿Te dan cuenta de la locura? Y muchas veces, si tenemos pasión y amor por nuestros amigos, yo creo que haremos lo que se tiene que hacer para que estén en la presencia de Cristo. Este sermón está conectado un poco con lo que empecé a decirles hace unos meses atrás. Necesitamos alcanzar a nuestros amigos por Cristo. So this message is kind of tied in, for those of you that are hearing it, to a series of sermons and a request and a kind of a project we have where we're trying to reach our friends for Christ. Before Christmas, I asked the group to write 7 names of people they knew, friends they had, that either did not know Christ or may have walked away from Christ. It's a big problem in the United States right now in the American church. A lot of people are leaving the church. But they need Christ. Our nation needs Christ right now. So, the challenge is for us to see that there is in the Bible an example of friends so in love with their friend who was in need. In this particular case, it wasn't just a health issue, being a paralytic. Jesus saw something else too, the sin issue. But the idea is that they were willing to do whatever it took to bring him to the presence of Christ. So we see this determination and the faith of the friends. And they counted, once they were able to get Jesus into, their friend into the presence of Jesus, that he would heal them. Because you know what would happen if he didn't? It sure would be a lot harder to pull him back up to the roof. It'd be better if he walked out. Don't you think? I just want you to see what they were willing to do. What are we willing to do? What have we done? And if we're not doing anything, you know the best way to correct that? Because someone mentioned that the love of Christ includes discipline. The best way to fix something in your life that's not working is to repent right then and there. It's 180 degree, kind of like a word borrowed in the Greek to speak about repentance, where you give an 180 degree turn and you just start going the other way. So the point here this morning is, are we doing enough to bring others to Christ? Podemos ver aquí en esta mañana la determinación y la fe de los amigos de este hombre paralítico. Ellos estaban confiando que Jesús, una vez que estaba este hombre en su presencia, lo iba a sanar. Porque créeme que tal vez fue duro bajarlo ahí, pero sería mucho más duro subirlo una vez más si no lo sanara y si no pudiera salir de ahí caminando. Entonces, lo que quiero que vean y tema y la idea aquí es ver que nosotros tenemos que alcanzar a nuestros amigos. No olviden que nosotros tenemos este proyecto que empezamos. No sé si todavía se recuerdan, hermanos, de estar orando y estar invitando a nuestros amigos que no conocen a Cristo o que tal vez se han apartado de Cristo. Y estamos viviendo en un momento en esta historia de los Estados Unidos, especialmente como la iglesia de Estados Unidos, que mucha gente se está yendo cuando deben estar acercándose al Señor, porque tenemos muchas dificultades por encima. Okay, so Jesus sees their faith, it says in verse 5, and he responds. Don't you love that? Jesus sees our faith. Jesus hears our prayers. Jesus knows the details of our lives. He's omniscient. He's all-powerful. You know, it's one thing that He has compassion for us. It's one thing that He's sympathetic. It's one thing that we have this privilege to be able to go before Him as our intercessor. But it's a whole nother thing that He can do something about it. Now, I can go to you, and you can come to me, and we might share with each other some of our issues and problems and difficulties, and you might be able to do something, or you might not be able to do something. You might want to do something, and you might not be able to because you don't have the resources or the knowledge or whatever, but Jesus will never fail us. He has everything. So that's why they bring Him, because they had heard of His fame. They had understood His ministry before, and chapter 1, you get the context of what's going on before this. He's healing. He was casting out demons. He was preaching and teaching. People were marveling over what this man, the Messiah, who they rejected ultimately. But initially, there were people coming to Him. Lo que vemos aquí, entonces, hermanos, es que nos dice el versículo 5, cuando Jesús vio la fe de ellos, le dijo al paralítico, Hijo, los pecados te son perdonados. ¿Qué es lo que vio Jesús? En las acciones, en lo hecho, en destruir este techo, en buscar cómo acercar a este hombre a su presencia. ¿Qué es lo que vieron? Vieron su fe. La fe siempre viene acompañado con acciones. So what did Jesus see when He heard the commotion above Him and He saw the roof opening up and this man coming down? He saw their faith, it says. Faith is always proven by action. You cannot say you're a Christian with the Christian faith the Bible shares with us without you acting on what you believe. You can't say I believe and assent to something, agree with something like the truth and the Word of God without actually living it. So that's what these people were doing. They took the right, he said it, Jesus saw their faith in their actions. And no one here, you look over to your girlfriend, boyfriend, wife, husband, and say, I love you. And then that's all you do is say it. You will be called to the mat if there are no actions behind it. Amen? Not just words. It's followed up and proven by what you do. They had enough faith to believe that if they got this man paralytic in the presence of Jesus, He would heal them or him. Entonces, hermanos, han escuchado aquí muchas veces que la fe siempre tiene como evidencia acciones. Entonces, estos hombres tomaron el riesgo de acercar a paralítico a la presencia de Jesús, entendiendo que Él los pudo sanar. Y nuestra fe siempre debe tener acciones. Se comprueban, es decir, se comprueba nuestra fe con hechos, con la manera que vivimos nuestra vida. No solamente lo que pensamos, no solamente lo que creemos, pero también lo que hacemos. Y estos amigos, estos cuatro amigos, lo estaban mostrando. So these four friends gave us and show us the example. So how does Jesus respond? He basically, as He sees him coming down, He just says, Son, thy sins are be forgiven thee. Your sins are forgiven you. Wow. Thanks. But that's not why we're here. See, they were more concerned at that moment about the physical needs of this man. Jesus doesn't attend to that first. Of course, He knows the whole scenario before it even plays out. And He's going to use the opportunity to prove Himself, who He is. So He basically says, son, your sins are forgiven. Right? I wonder if the friends were initially disappointed. We're not here for forgiveness. We're here for healing. And it was like if one of your friends came up to you, hey, let's go to lunch. No, I think what we need to do first is pray. Pray for your sins. You're like, they're probably going to look at you like, this guy's a little bit whack. What are you talking about my sins for? Here's the problem, or here's the issue. Jesus knew that the man's real need and what his greatest need was. Right? And it's not so much a problem, and it's nothing bad in that fact that this man could leave with two healed legs, but then walk straight into hell.
Ooh, the hell word.
The problem we have, first and foremost, is that we're sinners. And Jesus' mission is to come to seek and to save those that were, anyone want to fill it in? Lost. And we're lost in our sins, so he deals directly with the first issue at hand, and it's our sins.
Lo que tenemos aquí es algo interesante, porque cuando los amigos bajan al paralítico en la presencia de Cristo, Cristo de inmediato le dice, hijo, tus pecados te son perdonados. Y como que, espérame un ratito, espérame un momento, Jesús. Nosotros no lo trajimos para que fuera perdonado sus pecados, lo trajimos para que lo sanaras de ser paralítico, para que pudiera caminar. Pero Jesús, y ellos estaban viendo la necesidad en material, es decir, físico, pero Cristo estaba viendo el problema espiritual, que la necesidad primero del hombre es el de pecado. Porque si pudiera haber sanado al hombre y pudiera haber caminado, sale de ahí sin tratar sus pecados directamente al infierno.
Sí. Si morimos sin el perdón de pecados, el castigo es el infierno. Pero Jesús tiene aquí todo en control.
So, sin is the real problem. Jesus got to the problem.
See, that's what I love about the Lord. See, we can go to him thinking we know what our needs are. And sometimes they're very present in our lives.
But he sees our hearts and cares so much about us that he'll take care of that which is a priority first. Whatever it is that's keeping us from having a closer relationship with him.
So that was really good. It tied into the sermon. Where's the young man that talked about that? Somewhere back here. Thank you. You're being led by the Spirit. I think it's important for us to see that. So, the greatest need of man is to escape God's punishment and God's wrath and judgment. So Jesus offers that benefit first, the forgiveness of sins, right? The greatest need of every soul is forgiveness, right? That's the greatest benefit of being a Christian first. And then he provides the rest.
La necesidad más importante para el hombre es el perdón de pecados. Y el Señor nos ofrece eso.
Amen? So now, some of the scribes were sitting there. Questioning in their hearts, why does this man speak like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? And they were right about that. They were correct in understanding that only God could forgive sins. And they were correct for examining this new teacher. The error they made was refusing to see who Jesus was, the Son of God, and that he did have the authority to forgive sins. I like that Jesus never apologizes. I like that Jesus, this is going to sound rather simplistic, but it's very profound, right? Straight from Crosspoint. I like that Jesus is Jesus unapologetically. Someone talked about self-doubt. Jesus never doubted who he was. And that's what he wants to teach us, that in Christ we are free to be who he created us to be, to use our gifts and our resources and our abilities for his honor and glory, and we never have to apologize for any of it. Wow! You can be you! Really? You can be you. I'm just starting to get loosened. Freedom exists in Christ. He created you for a purpose. Go for it. Because he never apologized for who he was. He went straight to the matter and he said, your sins are forgiven you. The rest of the world will question him and doubt him. But he knows who he is and what he's here to do. And it's for us. Lo que vemos aquí entonces es que cuando Jesús menciona que los pecados estaban perdonados, los escribas que ahí estaban sentados decían a sí mismo, ¿qué es lo que dice este? Está blasfemando. ¿Quién puede perdonar pecados? Nadie sino Dios. Y están correctos, sí. Es solamente Dios el que puede perdonar. Y no hay nada mal en eso. Y aún es, no hay nada mal en examinar quién era y por qué lo estaba diciendo. El error que tenían es que rechazaban la idea de quién era Jesús y la autoridad que tenían. Entonces, lo que vemos aquí, le dije al grupo de inglés, que Jesús simplemente estaba haciendo lo de Jesús. Él no tenía que pedir perdón, ni permiso, ni tenía dudas. Había uno de los jóvenes que hablaba de dudas de sí mismo. Y yo les digo que cuando uno está en Cristo Jesús, puede ser quien es sin pedir disculpas ni permiso. Porque Dios nos hizo con un propósito y Dios nos hizo y nos creyó y lo podemos vivir y ofrecer, sea nuestros dones, nuestras capacidades, nuestros recursos, libremente y todo para honra y gloria de Dios. Amén. Jesús entonces hace lo que hace Jesús. So Jesus is Jesus. I know it sounds pretty simplistic, but I bet you'll never forget it. I love how the Bible reveals him. He walks up to the Jews one time. Before Abraham was, I am. And they get all nervous because, oh my God, Abraham lived like 2,000 years ago. You're just like 30. I don't have to explain. Before Abraham existed, I existed, is what he's saying. He's saying, I am God eternal in your presence. Right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word dwelt among us, it says. And we beheld his glory of the only begotten Son, John communicates. Don't ever apologize for being you. Jesus knows that about these people. He perceived it in his spirit, it says, that they were questioning within themselves, and he said to them, why do you question these things in your heart or in your hearts? Which is easier, say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or say, rise up and take your bed and walk, and that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralytic, I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home. And he rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. Let me just say this. The scribes should have marveled at what had just happened because he was just revealing to them what they were thinking. Right there, they should have just repented. He told them what was in their hearts. They didn't say it out loud. So every time God gives us an opportunity, he convicts our hearts or proves our hearts, we should respond in kind at that moment. You can see that their problem is that they're hardened and they refuse to respond to Christ. Don't do that. Because you then harden and you callous your heart and it's harder for him to reach you. Don't do that. And you'll live in a vicious circle for a long time until something really wakes you up. Don't go there. Learn the lesson at the beginning and just move on. But these people wouldn't do that. So Jesus tells them, hey, I know what you're thinking, but here's the bottom line. They should have marveled because a miracle was right before their eyes taking place. Right? The miracle's impressive. However, listen, the miracle worker is much more impressive. Right? The gift of healing is impressive, but the giver of the gift of healing is more impressive. Okay, hermanos. Terminamos con esto. Llegan las escribas, dudan, cuestionan, lo acusan, lo juzgan. Entonces él, para poder comprobar quién es, les dice lo que estaban pensando. Y ellos deberían haber arrepentido en ese momento. If I walk up to you right now and said what you're thinking, you just might pay attention to me, or at least you should. Si camino hacia ti y te digo lo que estás pensando, debes poner atención. So, he does the harder thing. What's harder? To say your sins are forgiven you, or to say get up and walk to a paralytic? What's harder? Just your sins are forgiven you are the greater work, but it's invisible. You can't prove it, at least then and there. But I could prove to you the power I have by telling the paralytic to get up and walk. That's what he does. He always does the impossible. Beginning with the forgiveness of our sins. Because so much benefit comes our way when all is well with our soul. So much. Entonces vemos aquí cuando Jesús les hace la pregunta, ¿cuál es más difícil, decir tus pecados te son perdonados o decirte o decirle al paralítico que se levante y que ande? Bueno, sabemos lo que más difícil es sanar físicamente a alguien que decir tus pecados te son perdonados, porque yo te lo puedo decir y puede ser cierto, pero ¿cómo lo puedo comprobar? Haz algo espiritual. Pero en lo físico, cuando le dice anda y camina, levántate, lleva tu camilla, bueno, ahí comprueba quién es. Amén. Entonces lo importante aquí es no tanto la sanación, eso sí compruebe quién es, pero el don de sanar o el que está sanando es más impresionante, ¿no, hermanos? Es impresionante ser sanado, pero ¿qué tal del sanador? ¿Lo ignoramos? Entonces, hermanos, que Dios les bendiga. Conozcan primeramente que Él vino a perdonar pecados. God bless all of you. Please, if you have not come to know Him as the forgiver of your sins, I'll have you bow your heads right now. Vamos a inclinar nuestros rostros. You know, this is the time where the Lord's speaking to your heart, or has been, because His word has been shared. So simply, if you have never come to Him to know Him as your forgiver of your sins, you can do that right there where you're sitting in the privacy of your heart and mind. Hermanos, si por alguna razón nunca le han pedido al Señor perdón por sus pecados, lo pueden hacer ahí donde están sentados en la privacidad de su corazón y su mente. So let's just pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for the good news of Jesus. Thank you for a Savior first. Thank you, Lord, because you know every detail of our hearts. And yet, Lord, you're patient with us. And you call us, and you woo us, and you ask us to confess and to repent. And if we do, we know that you're faithful and just to forgive us, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So first things first, Lord, we come to you, and we ask you to forgive us of our sins, and where we may have failed you or disappointed you or even offended you, Lord. And we know that if we come sincerely, you will sincerely forgive. And we're thankful for that because you have the authority to do it. And we pray that you will remove our sins as far as east is from west. That you would erase them off our hearts. And this is simply something we have to do by coming to you by faith, and trusting, Lord, in the finished work of Christ. So I pray, Lord God, there's someone here today that has never done that they would do that right there where they are. And you know them, and you see them, and that's what most matters. Padre Celestial, una vez más, te damos las gracias, porque nos podemos acercar a ti en cualquier momento. Podemos confesar y reconocer nuestros pecados y tú eres fiel y justo para perdonarnos nuestros pecados y para limpiarnos de toda injusticia. Ayúdanos no ignorar, Señor, si hay algo, pero acercarnos a ti y tú siempre, Señor, cumplirás con tu palabra y con tu promesa y nos podemos acercar y nos puedes ayudar también, Señor, para no repetir, para no seguir en el camino incorrecto. Gracias, Señor, y sabemos que tal vez hay algo en nuestras vidas que tú conoces. Entonces, en este momento, ahí cada persona, en lo personal contigo, que lo haga, conociendo la paz que viene, Señor, por haber hecho esto, y el gozo que llenará nuestros corazones. Gracias, Señor, por nuestro Salvador Jesucristo. So, everyone together, having searched your hearts, say thank you, Jesus, and amen. Todos juntos, habiendo examinado sus corazones, diciendo gracias, Jesús, y amén.